Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zapallo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzapallo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Mr. Coleman.
Good day, sir.
Welcome back to Berg Vivant. We had a marvelous time last night at the James Gallery, the opening of Obscure Reveal. Fantastic show.
Absolutely.
Absolutely fantastic. 10 artists, and we'll get going on them here, I'm sure, but I mean, just to tell you the breadth of talent here: Karen Friedman, Christine Aaron, Tracy Adams, Stephanie Armbruster, Amber George, Lorraine Glessner, Jane Guthridge, Catherine Nash, James Nesbitt, Paula Rowland. I mean, an incredible menu of artists there. And the show, I mean, so well attended. I mean, there was a lot of great energy to this.
Mm-hmm,
you know, and I'm just going through the photos here, taking a look. They had a live piano player, very classy. I mean, very, very well done. And the great thing about this, too, was we had so many of our Berg Vivant contributors there. I mean, here's you and Lonnie, the theater lady. Well, you know, because I put the call out, I said, you know, there's a Savannah James Gallery, you know, who wants to go, who wants to cover it? And almost everybody said yes. I mean, F.J. Hartland had a conflict, but we had you and we had Mike Bozzelli there enjoying the hors d'oeuvre. And by the way, the hors d'oeuvre were incredible.
They were. And they had cake pops.
That was the hit.
Cake pops. Where was that? That was actually my first time at the James Gallery. I've never been. I don't really explore the West End a whole lot, but it was a beautiful space, and it was laid out very well with all the different exhibits and all the different artist pieces there, and it was...
Oh, yeah. James Gallery is the gem of the West End, you know, in my opinion. But and they had an excellent event with the bartenders and all of the... I mean, those cake pops, yes. I mean, and those were homemade. I mean, those were not, you know...
Like a friend of a friend's mom
made them. Yeah, something like that. They were absolutely... Everything was delicious, and Bozzelli's there enjoying it, and... And look, you chatting up the ladies there, Mr. Coleman.
Yes, the ladies. Good friend of mine and a friend of hers.
Oh, yeah, they were wonderful chatting with them. Mm-hmm. We had a nice time. Then there's Buzz and Lonnie, the theater lady, and enjoying some artwork. And the thing that we need to say about this exhibit, the common thread that tied everything together, is that these works of art, all of them, were created by painting with wax.
Yeah, process encaustic, I believe, is what it was called. And all of the elements, or rather, all of the pieces had that one common thread that, in some way or another, yeah, wax melted or some fashion were used in every piece. And it was, in some ways, very creatively done that you wouldn't know if you hadn't known that.
Right.
But it was very impressive.
But that... It gave it, and the title of the show, aptly, is Obscure Reveal. And I think that that's exactly what the wax element in these pieces did. Mm-hmm. It kind of puts a veil, you know, and it has that way, almost like water would, to enhance color. Mm-hmm. And give some sense of depth. And it was really interesting to see how these 10 artists handled that. And by the way, of these 10 artists, which are from all around the country, 5 were there, which was amazing, and we did have a chance to talk to some of them. Now, this was Karen Friedman, and I think her works were probably the most colorful.
They were absolutely
of the evening, and I mean, they really pop. And actually, Mike Bozzelli commented on these. He said that they reminded him of the opening credits to Auntie Mame, which, you know, I understand only a gay man would understand that.
Yeah,
but it's a kaleidoscope thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I mean, those really absolutely popped. And that, I think, would be a great suite, like a collection.
To have. It kind of, this might sound negative, but it reminds me almost like an Afghan, like that, like an old school.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it does.
Even the shapes and the textures are within it.
And the geometry really has some depth, especially with the one in the upper right hand corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of math and right. planning, you know, went into something like this. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then Lorraine Glessner. Who we see here with my favorite piece of hers, which, if I am correct, Cranberry Moon. And she actually commented that this was her favorite as well. Think. And this one almost kind of reminded me, it kind of called to mind some Japanese art. You know how they have the Japanese cherry blossoms?
Okay, yeah. Mm.
A little bit like that, but I mean, stunning. Absolutely stunning.
And the scale of all the pieces were very impressive.
Huge!
And you see her, I mean, with scale, with her standing right next to it, and it's a massive piece. The one, I believe it's the one right behind her, on her right, was, I think, the one I liked a little bit more, where it had this almost industrial kind of look and feel to it, where it almost had, like, a drafting kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, you did mention that. I mean, imagine how many candles could be made out of all this. Right. It's really incredible. And James Nesbitt, who was there, we chatted with him a little bit. And he had these series of six, almost like portraiture. These kind of reminded me of like Da Vinci sketches a little bit. And these were smaller scale. But the way that he used the wax, I think he applied it a little heavier than the rest of them. And I think it was you that commented, it almost looks like marble. And these looked really like chunks of marble.
Yeah. Well, he did some really neat kind of typography within the pieces as well, where there were essentially pieces of text with words blocked out of it to kind of make a smaller statement within there. Mm-hmm. And at least a few of them had that, which were adding a nice little element to it.
Who did you say that one?
Well, I thought there was one that looked like our friend Leon Zients, but I don't think Leon was the model for any of these. But
he could have. Yeah. I had to call him and let him know that he's being prominently featured. Now this, what was this? Oh, this is Catherine Nash. Now, Catherine herself was not present, but this, I am a big fan of pieces like this that appear to be sort of semi-functional sculpture. Mm-hmm. And this one in particular was called Eclipse Lunar, and really has a lot of depth and dimension to it. I love stuff like this.
It has almost a nautical feel to it, with the compass and... When I think back to, I don't remember what they were called, like the shoebox diorama type deal.
Yeah.
It had kind of that vibe where you look kind of within it and there's a story within there, as well as almost like that chalkboard drawing sketch out on the very top.
Pieces like this draw you in. They almost invite you to participate. And me, I'm a texture freak, so I got to touch everything. I was respectful and I did not touch
this. There was actually a sign that said, do not touch.
Right, and I obeyed. I did. Christine Aaron. We had a great time chatting with Christine. She's based in Larchmont, New York, and I think that her pieces were among your favorites of the evening. And created by, I guess, oxidation and rust.
Absolutely. And she said it was kind of a mixture of photography and lithographic type processes with, again, photos that she had taken and then also letters that were written by her mother.
That's correct.
That were incorporated in there. So actually her mother's handwriting incorporated into the pieces and photos printed in negative. And then where the ink wasn't sticking, basically, or the tone or whatever, it kind of repelled the oxidation that they were kind of putting in place, where it was like a mix of bleach and a few other things where it...
And you've got to figure, how does she come up with this? You know?
Yeah.
But it was a lot of layer. And that was the interesting thing to me, too. She said, letters from her mother, handwritten letters from her mother. And I didn't even realize that until she mentioned it. And I looked very closely. And unfortunately, in this photo, it doesn't show up. But, you know, towards the bottom, you can see handwriting. And it really reads as artwork. And the amazing thing, too, we kind of asked, you know, how long do you have to let it rust and oxidate? And she said, a day. Right? Was that it? And that's what amazed us, too. I mean,
the process was very fascinating. And the idea that you could kind of fast track Rust was interesting to me.
Well, did she do something to fast track it?
She had said, well, that with the bleach kind of mixture, that it just happens that way. With,
okay.
If you, she said you, she could have put water on it and left it out in the yard and let nature take its course, mm-hmm. but with this kind of piece, that the kind of the chemicals that were within that mixture helped to kind of fast track it. And she said that there was another piece, not the ones that we got to see, but some others she let go a little bit too long, and it was actually eating away the paint. It got to the point where it got to the got beyond recognizable.
I mean, it's a creative art, but so much of it when it comes to art on this scale is chemistry.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely.
And here you are with some more of her pieces. You wanted to pose with them again. They were among your favorites.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you could even in a distance, it almost looks like a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Now, Stephanie Armbruster, I had a great time speaking with her. She was very popular, so it kind of took a while for me to get around to her, but she had a lot of fans there that night. And Stephanie is based here in Pittsburgh, which is really fantastic. And this particular piece that she's posing with, I love the title, Gargoyles of Frick Park.
Yep.
I think I've had lunch with some of them,
right.
But the blue really stands out. And this, as you can see by the scale of it, another large piece. But
hard to miss. And no. That's one big thing I will say just about the exhibit as a whole. The layout and the flow of everything.
Oh, yeah.
It was extremely well lit and really showcased all the pieces very well.
Everybody complimented each other very nicely, mm-hmm. I thought. You know, but she did mention this is one of her latest works and was certainly getting a lot of attention that evening. Now, this was not necessarily part of the Obscure Reveal exhibit, but Mike Bazzelli was really impressed with this room. These pieces look like photographs, but they're actually acrylic on canvas of the bridges of Pittsburgh, and these are by Roland Kula, and they are acrylic on canvas. I had assumed that they were photos when I was looking.
Very impressive, and it was kind of a if you go to the gallery, make sure you kind of sneak back around there, because I thought that was just kind of it. The room we were in with the Obscure Reveal section, I thought that was kind of the end of the gallery, mm-hmm. but you kind of sneak your way back through there and it's this whole separate room.
So. Right. So this is like an added bonus if you go to see Obscure Reveal. Definitely get into this room. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. And Mike Bazzelli was really moved by this because, especially the piece of the West End Bridge, because he was complaining about just that very same day how he had sat in traffic on there. And was livid out of his mind, and this really put it in perspective for him, actually, how beautiful that is. So he's got a new respect.
If you got to be stuck somewhere, you might as well be stuck on a beautiful piece of art, I suppose.
And maybe that's what inspired the artist to create that. Now here's me and James Frederick. Of course, James is the James behind James Gallery. Actually, James was our very first interview on Berg Vivant. And, you know, with James Gallery was responsible for a lot of big art installation projects in Pittsburgh. They did the artwork that's inside Children's Hospital. They did the Mary Lemieux statue outside of Console. A lot of great big projects. So if anybody viewing hasn't seen the James Frederick interview, they can find it in our archives. And class act, great guy. Always good to see him. And the piece behind us was another one of my favorites. Now, this is by Amber George, who's out of Bonita, California. I love the colors in this. And if I have the title right, this was called Bits and Pieces 1. Another one done with wax. The blend of the color in this, I love the blue and the tan and the gold. And as we were looking at it, the side to the left almost looked like a Rorschach test. We found some geometry to that. And the one that pointed that out was actually Timothy Powers, the architect. And we're here in this photo actually looking at that piece. Now, he, I believe, is the architect behind Children's Hospital.
Oh,
so leave it to the architect to point that out.
Right.
That, you know, when you look at that on the side, it's kind of like it's a fourfold. You know, it comes out. So however the artist achieved that, I'm not sure. But so we started playing a game. You know, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you take a look at it?
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, I mean, everybody there was just having a great time, you know. So we certainly encourage folks to get down to James Gallery. And the show runs, it opened just the other evening, November 15th, and it runs through January 4th. So lots of opportunity to head down there and see it. Great thing to do with the family for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, all of it's all for sale, you know. So if you're looking to make an investment, that would be a good place. But even just to go down and just absorb these pieces in person.
Well, they're all so unique too, and that's the thing. There's a little bit of something for everyone within there. Oh, yeah. And ample parking.
Yes, that's ample very parking. Important too. Yes. And there's a few restaurants in the area that you can enjoy as well. So good time. Obscure reveal. James Bond, January 4th. See it. And take one home. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk Magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.